So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, Text Number 21. Yam mahu om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya om namo bhagavate vasudevaya yam mahu rasa sthiti janma samyamam Shri Bir Vihinam Yam Manantam Vishayam Na Veda Siddhartam Iva Kavichit Shtitam Bhumandalam Murda Sahasadam Asu Yamahurasya Siti Janma Samyamam Shri Bir Vibhinam Yam Anantam Rishaya Na Veda Siddhartam Iva Kavachitstitam Bhumandalam Murda Sahasratam Asu Yamahurasya Stiti Janma Samyamam Shri Devi Nam Yam Anantam Rishaya Na Veda Siddhartam Iva Kavachit Sitam Bhumandalam Murdha Sahasatam Asu Yama Huvasya Stita Janma Samyamam Shri Bir Vinam Yam Anantam Vishaya Na Veda Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Shitam Bhumantalam Murdha Sahasranam Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Sthitam Bhumandalam Murdha Sahasratam Asu Yam Mahurasya Stiti Janma Samyamam Shri Dirvinam Yam Anantam Vishaya Na Veda Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Sthitam Bhumandalam Murdha Sahasratam Asu Any messages? Yamahurasya Sthiti Janma Samyamam Shri Devinam Yam Anantam Vishaya Na Veda Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Sthitam Na Nam Murdha Sahasratam Asu Yamahurasya Sthiti Janma Samyamam Shri Devinam Yam Anantam Vishaya Na Veda Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Sthitam Na Veda Siddhartam Iva Kvachit Sthitam mandalam mudya sahasritam pashu. Yam, whom, aho, they said, asha, of the material world, stiti, the maintenance, janama, creation, samyamam, annihilation, tribhi, these three, vihinam, without, yam, which, anantam, unlimited, Yurishaya, all the great sages, na, not, Veda, fields, Shitartam, a mustard seed, Eva, like, Pachit, where, Stitam, situated, Bhumandalam, the universe, Murta Sahasratamashu, on the hundreds and thousands of hoods of the Lord. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, the boy Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Shiva continued, all the great sages accept the Lord as the source of creation, maintenance, and destruction, although He has nothing to do with His activities, actually. Therefore, the Lord is called unlimited. Although the Lord in His incarnation of Shesh holds all the universe on His hoods, each universe feels no heavier than a mustard seed to Him. And therefore, what person desiring perfection will not worship the Lord? Please repeat. Lord Shiva continued, all the great sages accept the Lord as the source of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Although he actually has nothing to do with these activities. Therefore the Lord is called unlimited. Although the Lord in His incarnation as Shesh holds all the universes on His hoods, each universe feels no heavier than a mustard seed to Him. Therefore, what person desiring perfection will not worship the Lord? Purport. The incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Shesha or Ananta, has unlimited strength, fame, wealth, knowledge, beauty, and renunciation. As described in this verse, Ananta's strength is so great that the innumerable universe rests on His hoods. He has the bodily features of a snake with thousands of hoods, and since His strength is unlimited, all of the universes resting on His hoods feel no heavier than mustard seeds. We can just imagine how insignificant a mustard seed is on the hood of a serpent. In this connection, the reader is referred to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 5, verses 117 to 125. It is stated that Lord Vishnu's incarnation as the serpentine Ananta Shesh Naga supports all the universes on His hoods. By our calculation, the universe may be very heavy, very, very heavy. But because the Lord is Ananta, unlimited, He feels the weight to be no heavier than a mustard seed. Om Agyant Midandasya Jananjananjalakya Kshuram Minitandi Natasmash. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karadha Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Shiva continued, all the great sages accepted the Lord as the source of creation, maintenance and destruction. So generally this is the first understanding of the Lord, or the first appreciation of the Lord we ever try to start. Generally the first impression that he must be the creator of everything. This is probably the most popular conception of God, that he is the creator of everything. And that's a fact. He is. So we're advised, in Vedanta Sutra and Srimad Bhagavatam, that we have to find out the source, the creator. This is the philosophical search for life. We're searching for the source, for the ultimate truth. Where is everything coming from? So the scientists have their ideas, crazy ideas, and most religions, they say that the source is God. But how he creates, that information is not there. God said, let there be light. In the Bible it says, so he's, by his desire, there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. But scientifically, how that light came, that is no real explanation. So therefore, we have the Vedic literature that gives much more detailed information of how the actual creation takes place. And when we see how personified everything is in the whole workings of the creation, it's very, very amazing. A personality is doing everything. It's not by chance everything has happened, or just there was one thing in the beginning that started everything off, and then automatically chemical reactions and things that. No, everything is very, very personal. It means that God takes an interest in everything, because everything is Him, so He is everybody's self-interested, so He's the supreme self-interested. So He manipulates His energy, which is all of His expansions, His potencies anyway. And the way He sets everything up, and the way He does it, and why He does it, it's all way, way beyond our comprehension. We can only understand a little bit of what God says about Himself, or what the sages say about Him. That much we can understand, not more. So this little bit that's revealed here is personal. But who would ever conceive of that idea? So only God can conceive of ideas like this. Having the universe is sitting on the head of a snake, which is Himself, is in the form of Ananda Shesh. So God is not lazy. Some people think God, although God does nothing, here it says He has, although He maintains, creates and destructs, although He has nothing to do with His activities, but it's all done by His energies, which are personified also as Himself. So He has nothing to do, but He does. He still has many activities in His home, in Goloka Vrindavan, and He has many activities. Krishna's busy whole day. He's not lazy God. It's not that He just says one thing and set everything into action, and then He lays back and He doesn't do anything. Of course, sometimes He does. He lies on Ananta and one month of the year or more. How many months is that when Lord Vishnu goes to sleep? 4 months. Yeah, he goes to sleep for 4 months. He takes a good nap. So he just lays on an anthill and goes to sleep for four months. So when he rests nicely. But otherwise, he's always engaged in activities in his original form. And when he wants to sleep on, take a rest, he uses, here that we're talking about Ananta Devi. This book is about the incarnation of Ananta Devi. He's like a snake. Now a snake, if you've ever played with a snake, maybe the men did, but it's like they're kind of very muscular. They're very soft. They're silky to touch. They give bad odor. I don't think Ananta gives a bad odor, but generally snakes, they give some odor. But they're very, very, they're firm and supple. They're just like muscle, but... And so they're perfect actually for bed, because it's, you can move everywhere and you can get all the contours of Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan's head, and wherever he places his limbs, he can support that. I remember in England, there were, a long time ago, you could get a bathtub made to measure for your satisfaction. So they lay you down in a something or other and get a mold. They, where you're really comfortable, and they lie down and they make a mold where you're really, really comfortable. And then they make a bathtub like that. They cast it and make a bathtub. So then you, when you take your bath, you fill it up with warm water, and then you just lay it. It fits exactly where everywhere your limbs are, your fingers and your toes and your head and your legs. It's a perfect like fit. So they're copying Vishnu, you see. Originally it was there in Vishnu. But it was done by person, it wasn't done by chemical or anything like that. But they're copying him. Prabhupada said he was watching once, I think there was a swimming pool, but you could see, had a window in it, you could see from out on the street, you could see inside and people swimming around. And, oh no, it wasn't that, it was something else. Something about that. But another time, the Prabhupada saw them, they were floating on those lilos, what they called those rubber beds at the seaside. They float on rubber beds and just in the sun and floating on, or they're, he said, this also is an imitation of Vishnu. Vishnu does this. He lies on the bed, on the water, in the ocean, and he's moving. But Krishna does it everything first, you see. We can't think of... and it's all personified. So... now even to imagine... that the universe is so large for us, we don't even know how big it is. We don't know. I mean, modern scientists, they don't know if it goes on forever or it has an end. They don't know. Is it unlimited or does it have an end? Of course, the information is here in the Vedas. It does have an end. But it's so big. We comprehend a little bit, we look up at the sky sometimes, and how vast it is, the stars. And that's just a partial, a little part we can see. So this unlimited universe, as far as we can, it's like the size of a mustard seed on the head of an underdead. So how big is an under? You can never conceive of something like that. And, so Ananta is sustaining everything. He's moving also slightly. He's sustaining everything up there. He sustains the whole universe, many universes. Prabhupada says in Krishna book that this... how Ananta is holding all the universes in position, that's what the scientists call the law of gravity. How the law of gravity works. So this Shakti, this potency of gravity is actually Ananta there. So he is holding everything in position by the law of gravity. He's invisible to our eyes. Anyway, he's outside the universe. The universe is this lotus stem that grows from Lord Brahma's navel. The universe is situated inside the navel stem. That's a pretty big lotus also. Everything is gigantic, but within the stem, all the universes are situated. So Garbhadaksha is outside. Garbhadaksha Vishnu is outside the stem, laying on Ananta, Anantadev. And so he's just doing his duty. Ananta always plays the part of servant of Krishna, servant of Lord Shankarshan, who is his creator. That this is the etiquette. Whoever you are created from, he is like your worshipful Lord. So what was I going to say? From me comes forgetfulness also, Krishna. Everything is coming from Krishna, even forgetfulness. So, Anantadev, he's expansion of Shankarshan. Yeah, so he's doing his duty nicely. And at the time of the destruction of the universe, the fire comes from his mouth, he starts to burn everything up. He becomes angry. Now you wouldn't think that God would be angry, the ideal God shouldn't be angry, but Anantadev, he becomes angry. These stupid living entities in this material world. We went through the whole business of creation, we woke Mahavishnu up. Told him to release all the jivas and all the universes and start creation. To give them a chance, they can go back home, back to Godhead. And they simply wasted their time here. We went through all so much trouble. And the living entities, and they're still attached to enjoying in the material world. Okay, so stupid. He becomes angry. What does he use? So then he breathes fire because out of anger. Of course, you have to be angry to be destructive. It goes well with destruction. On the battlefield, you have to be angry and you destroy everyone. If you're not angry, you can't fight on the battlefield. So destruction, tamagun, so anger is there from Anantadev. And yeah, on top of all this, is this colossal scale of everything that's been mentioned here. It's all happening within a half a breath of Vishnu. The whole show goes on in half a breath. And it's all manifested in. And it's all finished. So, you know, there's no other way to accept these Vedic versions, because we're never going to find out by ourselves how you can. The sun looks like a rupee coin when I look at it, as big as a rupee coin. That's just a little sun in one little universe. And so how are we going to understand beyond that? But anyway, here, how the Lord is, he's destroying the universes, he's creating the universes. As Lord Brahma, he's maintaining the universes. As Lord Vishnu, but simultaneously he personally doesn't touch the material world. So it's done through his different incarnations. he delegates himself, he expands himself, he delegates himself to perform these different activities. Perfect manager. Whenever you need something, you just expand yourself, you delegate. You delegate yourself, make a new form and carry this function of creation or whatever the function it may be. So it advises the reader here to see the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 5, which I have.
Yeah.
So we can read what. This chapter is called The Glories of Nityananda, Lord Nityananda Balaram. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose secondary part is the Vishnu lying in the ocean of millet. That Kirodakai Vishnu is the super soul of all living entities and the maintainer of all universes. Sheshnaga is his further sub-part. Kirodakai Vishnu. His name is Kira because he's in the ocean of milk. The milk is cooked down a little bit, we call it Kira. So therefore Kirodakai Vishnu, he's on the ocean of Kira, milk ocean. So he is, this Kirodakshai Vishnu, on the milk, he is the super soul of the universe. He expands into the heart of everyone. This super soul function is an aspect of Kirodakshai Vishnu. They're all expanded from Kirodakshai Vishnu. The material planets rest within the stem of the lotus, navel of Lord Narayana. Among these planets are seven oceans. There, in part of the ocean of milk, lies Shwetadweep, the ocean of the sustainer, Lord Vishnu. He is the super soul of all living entities. He maintains this material world, and he is the Lord. So he maintains 15th chapter, or 13th chapter, 15th chapter. Oh, you get the fallible and the infallible, shara akshara. Beyond these is that supreme, there are two classes of people, the fallible and the infallible. And beyond these two, there is that Lord who enters into and maintains the world. That is the super soul. So he enters into and maintains the material world as Kirodakshai Vishnu, because he's everywhere, he's within everyone's heart, so he knows how to maintain what a person desires, what a person needs. And he's also in between every atom, Prabhupada said. In the atom and between atoms. So he, perfect management can go on because he knows everything everywhere. So he can adjust everything. In the ages and millenniums of Manu, he appeared as different incarnations to establish the principles of real religion and vanquish the principles of irreligion. Unable to see him, the demigods go to the shore of the ocean of Milik and offer him prayers. This is beginning of Krishna book, how all the demigods went to the ocean of Milik and offer prayers. They can't see him. They can only see the ocean, but the demigods are also limited, so they cannot see him on Shwetadweep, on the island of Shwetadweep. But they go there and they chant the Purusha Shukta Mantra and beckon his, we're having a problem in the material world, please can you come and solve our problem, you're the only one who can solve it. Then Kirodakshai Vishnu dictates to Lord Brahma what to do and what's going to happen. Then Lord Brahma tells all the demigods, yeah, the Lord said he'll come like this. He's an appearance, son of Vasudeva, so everybody should take their birth in Jadu dynasty, Rishni dynasty. So he tells Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma, and then all the demigods take birth to assist the Lord in his different pastimes. He then descends to maintain the material world. His unlimited opulences cannot be counted. That Lord Vishnu is a part of a plenary portion of Nityananda, who is the source of all incarnations. Nityananda expands as Shankarshan. Shankarshan does all the work, the creation work, and expands. So he's all the incarnations are ultimately coming from Shankarshan, from Nityananda Balaram. But Krishna doesn't do that. The same Lord in the form of Shesh, Lord Shesh, holds the planets on his head, although he does not know where they are, for he cannot feel his existence upon his heads. They're so small, he doesn't even know they're there. And even if he does, he doesn't know where they are. There's no pressure point. They're just there, but he doesn't know they're so light. His thousands of extended hoods are adorned with dazzling jewels surpassing the sun. The universe, which measures 500 million yojanas in diameter, rests on one of his hoods like a mustard seed. That Ananta Shesh is the devotee incarnation of Godhead. He knows nothing but the service of Lord Krishna. With his thousands of mouths, he sings the glories of Lord Krishna, but although he always sings in that way, he does not find an end to the qualities of the Lord. Before Kumaras hear Srimad Bhagavatam from his lips, and they in turn repeat it in transcendental bliss of love of Godhead. So we often hear the four Kumaras, they go to Shweta Dweep, or they go to this place to see the Lord. They could travel everywhere. So here they go to hear the Bhagavatam from Ananta Shesh, who is always chanting the glories of the Lord. He serves Lord Krishna assuming the following forms: umbrella, slippers, bedding, pillow, garments, resting chair, residence, sacred thread, and throne. He is thus called Lord Shesha, for he is unlimited, for he has attained the ultimate end of servitude to Krishna. He takes many forms for the service of Krishna, and thus he serves the Lord. So he expands as to... He's considered to be the greatest servant of Krishna, because he's the first servant. Yeah. And as Balaram, as Nityananda Prabhu, and here as Ananta Shesh, he assumes the different forms, like umbrellas, slippers, bedding. In other words, wherever Krishna will come, then Balaram will first come, Ananta will first come and make that suitable for the Lord. He'll expand. So Krishna, when he doesn't have to deal with the material world or move around in the material world, because Ananta Dev comes, the Adhara Shakti, the accommodating potency, and he makes everything transcendental. Just like the Sadashura Garbhas that were born to Devaki, the children of Devaki were killed one after another by Kamsa. And it's explained that this killing of the children was like killing of the bad qualities, if there was any bad qualities, material qualities remaining in Devaki. This killing of these six children represents the killing of the bad qualities from kama, krodha, lobha, moha, matsya, like that. So all those children were killed by Kamsa. So that means she became purified, because they represented kama, krodha, lobha. So all the material qualities, inauspicious qualities, were killed by Kamsa or destroyed. So then she became pure, mode of goodness. But still that's not sufficient. So now the womb of Devaki was mode of goodness, but still not sufficient for Krishna to come. So then Balaram expands, entered into the womb. And he's the accommodating part, and he spiritualized the place. Then Krishna could come. So, like that, wherever Krishna comes, then Balaram will come and he will support. He expands as Navadvipam. Nityananda expands as Navadvipam, then Mahaprabhu can perform his pastimes. Balaram expands as Braja, then Krishna can perform all his pastimes in Braja. So like he's accommodating potency, he accommodates all the Lord's pastimes by his expansion. That person of whom Lord Ananta is a colour or a part of a plenary part is Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Who therefore can know the pastimes of Lord Nityananda? We can't understand Shesha, what we can understand about Nityananda. But he just looks like a drunken man, an ordinary man sometimes. Drunk in ecstasy. Doesn't seem very difficult to understand it. All he seems to be doing is dancing, chanting, falling in ecstasy, eating prasadam. That's all he's doing. It doesn't appear so difficult to understand. But it's how he expands and takes care of everything while he is just enjoying serving Lord Chaitanya in these missions. So how we can understand Gauranga and Nityananda Prabhu? Although they made themselves available and made themselves easily approachable by chanting Hare Krishna, how we can ever understand their glories? What they reveal that we can understand, that is their extreme mercy. From all these conclusions, we can know that the limit of the truth of Lord Nityananda. By what glory? But what is the glory in calling Nityananda Ananda? But I accept it as truth because it has been said by the devotees that since he is the source of all incarnations, everything is possible in him. They know there is no difference between the incarnations and the source of all incarnations. Previously, Lord Krishna was regarded in the light of different principles by different people. Some people said Krishna was directly Lord Naranarayan, and some people called him Lord Vamanadeva incarnate. Some called Lord Krishna an incarnation of Lord Kiradakshayi. All these names are true. Nothing is impossible. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna appears, he is the shelter of all the plenary parts. Thus, at that time, all of his plenary portions join him. So when the original personality of Godhead comes, all the different incarnations come along with him. To assist him. But when Krishna kills the demons in Vrindavan, he says Vasudeva feature actually comes in. The Narayan feature of Vishnu enters into Krishna and he takes care of that heavy killing demons and things. That Krishna's body is very delicate. So then the aspect of Vishnu will come out and he'll kill the demon. When Krishna goes to Mathura, Vasudeva expansion, he comes out and he goes to Mathura and Krishna, he stays in Vrindavan. So they all come to take part in Krishna's pastimes. This Vasudeva, he comes and kills the demons, but when Krishna's performing pastimes with his gopi friends, Vasudeva has actually no business there at that time. So then Krishna has another potency. I can't remember the name, but it's an all-attractive potency that goes off up in the air. And Vasudeva is attracted to that. He goes with that. So Vasudeva is not there. When Krishna, Radha and Krishna have their intimate pastimes, his Vasudeva feature is not there. Then when they finish their pastime, then Vasudeva, his Shakti comes back and Vasudeva comes back into it. Then he can fight the demons and things like that. So, at that time all the plenary portions come and join him. So whatever you say about Krishna, Krishna Das Kaviraj saying, yes, okay, that's true. because they're all expansions from him, so we can say they're Christian. Well, just like you read in an encyclopedia, Krishna, generally it'll always say Krishna incarnation of Vishnu. But it's true also, because Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma on the 28th millennium, the original Krishna. The rest of the times, the rest of the Dwapara Yugas, this is not the original Krishna that comes. This is the expansion of Kiradakshaya Vishnu. Generally, all the incarnations are coming from Kiradakshaya Vishnu. So, when it's not the 28th millennium, when it's not the original personality of Godhead, then that Krishna is actually coming through the agency of Kiradakshaya Vishnu. And so, therefore, it's correct when it says Vishnu, Krishna is the incarnation of Vishnu, it's correct. Because Vishnu incarnates as Krishna for this pastime. But of course, when the original Krishna comes, he's the avatari, he's the source of all the other avatars, he's not an incarnation. Krishna, Shtu Bhagavan Swami, Etikalahat, Vamsha Krishna, Krishna Shtu Bhagavan Swami. He's not an incarnation, he is actually the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. But for assisting him in his pastimes, then all the other forms of the Lord come with him. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has exhibited to everyone all the pastimes of all the various incarnations. Thus, Lord Nityananda has unlimited incarnations. In transcendental emotion, he calls himself a servant of Lord Chaitanya. Sometimes he serves Lord Chaitanya as his guru, sometimes his friend, and sometimes as his servant, just as Lord Balaram played with Lord Krishna in these three different moods in Braja. He considers himself a servant and knows Krishna to be his master, and thus regards himself as a fragment of his plenary portion. Acting like ordinary boys, they played like roaring bulls as they fought one another. They all imitated the calls of various animals. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna and Balaram playing. Sometimes when Lord Krishna's elder brother, Lord Balaram, felt tired after playing and lay his head on the lap of a cowboy, Lord Krishna himself served him by massaging his feet. Krishna alone is the supreme controller and all others are Hari's servants, and they dance as he makes them to do so. Thus Lord Chaitanya is the only controller and all others are his associates or servants. His elders such as Nityananda Advaita, Srivas Acharya, as well as his other devotees, whether his juniors or his equals or superiors, all are his associates who help him in his pastime. Lord Gauranga fills his aims with their help. Sri Advaita Acharya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are plenary portions, parts of the Lord, are his principal associates. With these two, the Lord performs pastimes in various ways. So, here. When we're worshipping Krishna, or we're worshipping, or as devotees of Krishna, as devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can understand everything is included in that. When we worship Krishna, we worship Lord Chaitanya, there's nothing else to be achieved. There's nothing else to be achieved in the material worlds or the spiritual worlds. Because all the spiritual worlds and all the different incarnations that we read about, they're all simply expansions of the original personality of Godhead, Krishna and Mahaprabhu. So it's all their different features. So therefore when we serve Krishna exclusively, we have nothing else to be achieved. There's no other It's the end of the line, as they say. The search is over. So anyway, the idea is that if Lord Ananta Shesha, such a powerful personality, always renders service, humble service to Krishna, then we should also understand our position as very, very insignificant. But we should simply understand that we are the servants, or the servants of the servants of servants of Krishna. Then by that we can achieve the grace of Ananta Shesh. And by His grace we can enter into the service of the Lord. Nityananda Ram ki jai, Sri Ananta Deva ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Mo. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Is there any comment or question? It's almost 9 o'clock. Yeah. In the, when the
differences in pastimes.
When who comes?
When the incarnation of Krishna comes.
Oh yeah. When the on the. Is there a difference in pastimes of Krishna, the original Krishna when he comes, and the Vishnu incarnations? And yes. When the Vishnu incarnations come, Vrindavan is there, Jasoda is there, Radha is there, but Krishna, they are married. It's Shvakya Ras, it's Parakya Ras. Parakya Ras is very exclusive to the original Supreme Person of Godhead. So that is a major difference. Okay, thank you. Prabhupada ki.